Happy to have with us in studio this morning, special guest, U.S. Representative, our Congresswoman Cynthia Lummis. Cynthia, good morning to you.
Good morning, Brian. It's really great to be home in Wyoming.
I'll bet it is. Although circumstances and timing, I'm not sure was the best in the world for this break to be had right now. But Nancy Pelosi sends you home without a vote on extending some tax credits and some other business that certainly could have gotten taken care of before you left, I would suppose.
Absolutely. When the country's really reeling under the economic uncertainty, the tax uncertainty, the job uncertainty, we should have had a budget this year. That's unconscionable. We haven't passed any of the major appropriations bills. We did not extend the Bush tax cuts. We did not even do what the Democrats said was their version of extending tax breaks to the middle class. We just left. And that was why I voted not to adjourn and stay and complete the people's business.
What do you suppose would happen to the U.S., or rather the Wyoming House or the Wyoming Senate, if they decided at the end of their session to just say, you know what, we don't want to set our budget right now. We'll put that off. We'll do that another time. Would they be able to live in their home communities?
Absolutely not. There would be a bipartisan revolt first among the members themselves, the rank and file members of the legislature, and then when they got home, people be sending them back to Cheyenne with brooms and pitchforks, running them out of town. The fact that the Congress of the United States, which is supposed to be the most sophisticated legislative body in the world, can pull these kind of stunts is remarkable. It's disappointing at a minimum. And I find it truly unconscionable. And the American people need to use their vote on November 2nd to respond to this Congress that's just been truly irresponsible.
So why aren't those states, why aren't there communities that are after their political leaders with pitchforks and rakes and sending them back to Washington and say, hey, before you try to get reelected, let's get some business done?
I think that that's what you're going to see the voters do with their vote on November 2nd. I wish there were more emphasis. But the good news about the Internet and about social media and about 24-hour news channels, even though at times they get tedious, they really are the way that the American people are responding to Congress's lack of attention to its own business. So if you look on the blogs, the Internet, the even things like Facebook and Twitter, the chatter out there is very anti-Congress. I think that our approval rating is at 11%. More Americans believe Elvis is alive than approve of Congress. So, and we've earned that reputation by pulling stunts like this, leaving Washington with so much important work undone.
Do you think that affects you as folks go to the poll here in November?
I'm hopeful that I've been successful in coming home every weekend to Wyoming and talking to people, in painting a vision for the future. Republican Conference has put out something called the Pledge to America. And the pledge includes things like being much more transparent than Congress has been, putting every bill up for the public to review and read and discuss, as well as members of Congress to do the same, 3 days before every vote, doing the similar things in committees, allowing committees to do their work. So we're not taking bills from Nancy Pelosi's office to the Rules Committee and straight to the floor. We're going through the substantive committees of jurisdiction over bills. And we're going to break them up. So you're not voting on the takeover of the student loan industry in a health care bill, which is what we've been doing for the last numerous years. This is something that is not unique to the Pelosi Congress. So we're going to reform it. And when people say, yeah, but I've heard that before, what makes you believe it's different this time? And I think the difference really is going to be John Boehner. If you see John Boehner on television or you hear his image painted, now that people are starting to pay attention to who John Boehner is, you'd think he was the Dean Martin of Congress, you know, smoke and drink and tan, playing golf. And, you know, quite frankly, he is all those things. But he is a true reformer. In 20 years, he's never taken an earmark, 20 years in Congress. He believes in breaking these bills up. He's want to reform the process the entire time he's been in Congress. In fact, he was kicked out of the Republican leadership in the late 90s because he was agitating for reform that Republican leaders at the time just didn't want to institute. So now, with his hands at the levers of Congress, I think you're going to see an entirely reformed process, which will make for better legislation and more involvement by rank and file members of Congress in both parties.
Yeah. There's a lot of concern around around Wyoming. Of course, jobs is number one. Jobs in the economy happen to go hand in hand, and the jobs that Wyoming can create on its own is only so many. We need the national economy to be where it is and moving forward for the rest of the jobs to come along for us in the state of Wyoming. That means work by the Congress, work by the Senate, and moving forward, and something happening on a national level. But it seems like jobs and the economy continue to get lost and continue to, in the minds of politicians, rank fourth or fifth as opposed to number one where they should be.
And people all over the country, and every poll that's taken, and believe me, polls are taken in this country every day on these issues. Jobs and the economy, the runaway congressional spending, the debt and the deficit, always on top. Even Wall Street is extremely affected by this lag in the economy. They're now saying that just individual stock picking it's just not doing the job for people because of the total economic malaise, what's weighing down rebounds in large stocks in large companies is this overall economic trend, which is just a flat line. So you're absolutely right. We need to deal with taxes. We need to deal with the regulatory environment, and we need to deal with our own debt and deficit, because, you know, as we run up debt as a nation and have to borrow money from our own people, from Japan, from China, we're crowding out the private economy. And we need the private economy to borrow money, to create jobs, to take risks, to do what American ingenuity has always done, and that is grow our economy. And it's just the basics. It's really very simple. When I hear people say, well, it's complicated. It's not complicated, Brian. We are back to the rudiments of what makes a sound economy. Even Ben Bernanke's been preaching that for the last 2 years, and it's fallen on deaf ears.
Let's talk about regulatory things that are getting in the way of doing regular business. One of them happens to be this dust regulation for the EPA, and this is one that that on the surface it might make sense, but when you start digging into this and start dealing with this, this could shut down a cattle drive running down the side of the road. This could shut down somebody trying to run their caterpillar machinery across the plains. It could do a number of different things that would again get in the way of doing good business.
Really hard on the farm economy, because when you're combining, thrashing wheat, combining crops, harvesting, whatever it is, corn, wheat, rye, you name it, it kicks up dust. And the standards are being cut in half for how much particulate matter you're allowed to send into the air. And at half, it's a completely unmeetable standard. So you have people in Washington making rules that they've never had to live under, and compliance is an issue. And I hear this from coast to coast. Brian, last week I traveled from Washington, D.C. to West Virginia, Pennsylvania, North Dakota, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, and back home. I was out campaigning for congressional candidates in other districts. Every one of those districts, I heard about the EPA. It was either from brickmakers, from kilns in the forest industry, from farmers and ranchers, from the oil and gas industry, from manufacturers. Everywhere I went, there's some new EPA-proposed rule that is going to impair their ability to create jobs, to manufacture and produce goods in this country.
At the same time, as all of this is going on, we are also looking at the EPA and the regulations and the greenhouse gases now getting in the way of good business in the coal industry. And I guess we are fortunate in the state of Wyoming in knowing that we have natural gas. But at the same time, I just read an article that was talking about how good that is for natural gas and the movement forward for natural gas. But now what does this do to the coal industry?
And
what happens there?
With 50% of this nation's electricity coming from coal, with a much higher percentage here in Wyoming coming from coal, and with our low price of electricity per kilowatt hour because of coal, we really need to watch both costs and the consequences of overregulating coal. It's going to be devastating for Wyoming specifically, but for the whole nation. I found when I went to Congress that we had tremendous allies in the manufacturing states and districts across this country because their profit margins are now so low and their costs are so high to hire people, to provide for their health insurance, and to make these good, solid, livable wage jobs, that when you impose those kinds of high costs of electricity on them, they're going to relocate. They're either going to relocate to a state where the electricity costs are lower or another country where those costs are lower. And, you know, one of the reasons NCAR, the National Center for Atmospheric Research, chose Wyoming for its superconductor facility they're building between Cheyenne and Laramie is because of the cost of electricity. It is abundant and it is cheap, and that's what they need to run those supercomputers. And those supercomputers beget other spin-off satellite businesses that need to utilize those same types of supercomputers. If you take that same philosophy of the need for abundant, cheap electricity, and you translate that to every state, every district in this country, and then you impose extra layers of costs on them, you really are going to flatline this economy for as long as a decade. And if the Japanese have told us anything, it's, you know, don't raise taxes during a recession. Don't do things that impair job development during a recession. And my gosh, we're just marching down the road as if we'd never talked to the Japanese about that. There's the models out there. Other nations that have done it right have a great model. The country of Georgia is doing it right. The Japanese in the 90s did it wrong. So we have friends all over the world that we can turn to and say what works, what doesn't. So for us to head down a road that we know doesn't work is beyond me.
Is there any good news out there? Is there anything good happening right now?
You know, there is good news out there, and I think it's going to come through the American people on November 2nd. As I said, I traveled all over the country last week, and there's tremendous excitement for the kind of change that will bring about an economic environment that will create jobs, that will have reasonable tax rates, that will make sure that we retain our ability to have a strong economy by not having things like cap and trade, but by having an all-of-the-above energy policy that includes renewables and non-renewables, that includes a good mix of nuclear, oil and gas, coal, solar, wind, the whole gamut, and that is set out in a way that will allow for continued job growth and development in the manufacturing sector, in those sectors that require reliable, affordable energy. And that accrues to the benefit of every American who has a home on the grid. So those are good things. I'd encourage people to read the Pledge to America, because if the Republicans take over the House, you're going to see everything that's in the Pledge to America come up. And in fact, if we can get it to come up before the end of the year, during this lame duck session we're going to have in November and December, we will, because every single element of what's in the pledge is currently in a piece of legislation that's been filed and has not gotten a hearing. Let me give you an example. One is my own bill. It's called the Federal Workforce Reduction Act. It will reduce the number of federal employees. The only sector of our economy that's grown in the last 2 years is federal government employment. We've hired almost 200,000 employees, not counting census workers. Those are in addition to that. And their salaries are higher than the overall economy. So my bill would, for every two federal employees who retire, only one could be replaced. So you would be doing it by attrition. Nobody get laid off, nobody get fired. But as they leave their employment to retire, move on to a different job, only one could be replaced for two vacant positions. And over time, that'll reduce by $35 billion the cost the American taxpayer is paying to have all those additional federal employees. Ideas like that add up to $1.4 trillion that Republican members of the Congress have had languishing around the halls of Congress without a hearing. So those are the bills we want to bring up. Those are the concepts we want to bring to the American people. And we believe it'll spur the American economy on.
Seems to be really common sense. Unfortunately, common sense in Washington are not necessarily mentioned in the same sentence at any time. Cynthia, I know that you will be busy between now and Election Day 2010, and we will be hearing from you, I'm sure, between here and there.
It'll be my pleasure, Brian. Thanks for having me in this morning.
You bet. Again, if you would like to find out more as you educate yourself going into the polling booths in November, you can certainly contact Cynthia's office. We have all the links available to you through our website online at k2radio.com.